That's the great mistake so many preachers make. People come, and so more and more talking. They come to Jesus. He goes to hide and talk to the Father. And it's an occupational hazard that Jesus, being, of course, God, avoids. But he goes, you see, assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. And he wants to do both. But he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. Now, let's look a bit at this first letter, which is such a treasure, isn't it, this letter? I mean, the truth that's here that can enlighten us and guide us. And today, we have a very powerful teaching. Beloved, who indeed is the victor over the world? Well, who? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Nothing can stop such a person. Martyrdom, jail, whatever. Nothing can stop such a person. Nor can anything stop the presence of Christ who is in that person. And so now he describes, he's after now this heresy. You see, one of the characteristics of Gnostics, they're very spiritual, you see. God isn't. He's incarnate. So they had this theory that the Word of God descended on Jesus at his baptism. And he went around teaching and healing and all that sort of stuff. But then, when it came time for his passion, the Word left. You see that matter can have anything to do with this. This is denied by all Gnostics, past, present, and future. Matter is an embarrassment to everybody but God. And so to realize that our body is part of our access to God. Tertullian had this wonderful phrase, caro, cardo, salutis. The flesh is the hinge of salvation. If you didn't have flesh, you couldn't be baptized. You couldn't receive the Eucharist. Caro, cardo, salutis. And one of them, many, but one particularly, fellow by the name of Cerinthus, you see, and they had this theory that I just said. Jesus, you know, was a nice, upright fellow. The Logos descended to teach through him. And then at the Passion, he left. That's the Jesus Seminar does that, right? The Jesus Seminar is all about Jesus teaching. I remember somebody calling me up, and a very fine person, but not involved in all this study sort of stuff, this guy. And she's gotten a hold of the Gospel of Thomas someplace, which is a Gnostic gospel. And she was thrilled to death with it. I said, tell you what, go find the Passion in there. Oh, isn't it great to have friends? That was the end of it. She never read it again. You see, we can't be embarrassed by matter because God is not our own or that of the hungry people. They have to be cared for. All right. So that's behind this. This who came through water and blood, and not by water alone. You see Cerinthus in the background there? He came at the baptism and he left when there was a question of blood. And John is after him. Because that would be the ruin of your salvation. And so he says, you see, not by water alone, but by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies. And the Spirit is truth. Truth, Jesus says, I am the truth, right? Truth is ultimately the revelation of the Father. That's the truth. And so, the Spirit is the one who testifies to us. That's why we're here. You know, we're probably too sleepy and dull already to be getting it all, but the Holy Spirit is working in us or we wouldn't be here. And we wouldn't understand what this thing is all about. So there are three who testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And you see, that's the rhythm of the Christian life. Come to faith, be baptized, and live by the Eucharist, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, which are already enacted and made life-giving by the conception, the baptism, and the passion of Jesus. You see. So there are three, okay? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are of one accord, east to end. They go to the same thing. Now he moves on, you see. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Can you imagine God bearing witness? He's God. Does he have to bear witness? No. He loves us so much. He desires eternal life for us. His Son poured out his water and his blood. You see, and now he bears witness to that through the Spirit. By the way, could you ask those kids to be a little quiet? Now, the testimony of God is this. God is bearing testimony, you see. He has testified on behalf of his Son. And whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. If we yield to the truth of who Jesus is, then there is a testimony going on in our spirit about who he is. You see? Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because God testifies, this is my Son. No, we know better. We're smarter than God. You see? He's made him a liar. By not believing the testimony God has given about his Son, not just the descent of the Spirit at the baptism, but all these miracles. We just heard about one today. This poor leper man comes, and Jesus heals him. That's the Father, as John says, and John has the theology of the miracles, right? The Father in me is doing his works, is the way John puts it. Jesus puts it. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life. Do you know that? Are you walking around obvious that you have eternal life? Or are you more worried about the stock market? Or no, you wouldn't worry about the stock market very much. But whatever. You see? And this life is in his Son. Whoever possesses the Son has life. Not just until we stop breathing. Has life. And we possess the Son by believing in him. That's why, you know, I've said so many times, practice. You know, make up your own acts of faith and turn off the radio in the car and make them to God. I believe, God. I believe that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe you are the Creator and Savior of the world and that you love us. I believe, Almighty God, that in your Son you have come to us. And just make up your own act of faith and practice. Okay? Whoever possesses the Son has life. Whoever does not possess the Son of God does not have life. Point. This is why we preach. Okay? I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. We were just witnessed to this morning by the very word of God that we have eternal life. Now, you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and what's his name? Son. Son. of God. It's a very powerful passage. I probably took too long, but it's not bad. But it's very important. This is one of the key passages of the New Testament. Because it shows us that if we want to be spiritual, we have to not be afraid of matter. Being spiritual doesn't mean eschewing matter. It means loving God. Tell him once again, will you? If there's a teacher out there, tell her